I'm down here today because we need to stop climate change.
I mean, people assume that the youth don't care about politics, they don't care about the future, but, you know, we're showing otherwise.
When do we want it?
Now! This podcast offers some thoughts and reflections on youth transformations and on the recent global warming and climate change discourse in the UK. There are a range of local and national pressure groups that have been upping their action and public profiles this year across the UK in relation to climate change and global warming, and many of these speak across international borders. And those associated with young people have drawn their support particularly from the high global profile of Greta Thunberg, particularly in her campaigning about the generational injustice of global warming and the effects of human-induced climate change. On September the 24th this year, in common with cities across the globe, many children and young people, reportedly 4 million, took time out of school to bring the issues of global warming and intergenerational injustice to the fore. Now, along with my colleague, Perpetua Kirby, I, Rebecca Webb, have become fascinated by the ways in which children and young people have been taking up the challenges, as they see them, of global warming and climate change. We're both researchers at the University of Sussex, and we work within the School of Education and Social Work. We're both teachers and researchers. And we're ethnographers who spend quite a lot of time in school. Our research and our different experiences of working in schools means that we've become increasingly frustrated with the way in which the school system in the UK, and especially within England, is currently working. We're not alone in feeling this frustration. We feel that the institutional assumptions are currently geared towards a national curriculum whose prime purpose is to reduce a system of measurements. These might be measurements of inputs, what's to be taught to pupils and at what age, and outputs, what's to be tested and assessed and with what frequency, and what's to be assumed that should follow from this. Gert Biester, an educational philosopher, calls this focus on measurements and qualifications and on particular behaviours that lead to forms of socialisation to the exclusion of all else, schoolification. He considers these means of schoolification to be very limiting, especially if we consider the school as an element of a social and public civic society. His ideas assume that the democratic school is charged with shaping and being shaped by wider democratic and civic forces that promote the asking of questions about urgent matters of the day, such as climate change and global warming. To this end, Gert Biester, drawing on the work of French philosopher and historian Jacques Rancière, suggests that we think about the possibilities for a school curriculum as extending beyond, always and only focusing on, conforming knowledge and conforming ways of doing things. Biester suggests that the institution of the school is always political, because it's made up of citizens who are subjects, who are required to make up their own minds about what they think, feel, and how they will act in relation to both small and big things that link to their everyday lives in the public and private sphere. We can think about this as relating to school and university, and to the years beyond as people grow into adulthood. So primarily, one of the purposes of this podcast is to draw attention to the new and indeterminate role and power of young people to speak out in this uncertain space of climate crisis, as identified through the movements to which many of you will be affiliated, such as Students for Future and Public Climate School. Of course, in speaking out and in acting in such ways, you're part of wider global movements we can identify as part of other powerful social movements over the years. Movements against apartheid in South Africa, civil rights movements of the 1960s in the United States and across Europe. Now movements for democracy in places such as Chile, Hong Kong and the Lebanon. So we could say that this is about connecting the democratic purposes of education with ideas of climate change and global warming, and asking, how might I, as a good citizen, act and think? In relation to global warming, we might ask ourselves, how do I respond to scientific projections of climate change without closing down debate or moralising about what action might be needed? How might I relate intergenerational and global injustices associated with global warming to my own situation? How might huge social changes such as mass migration translate into possibilities for a radical political reconfiguration? So to this end, Perpetua and I started putting together a website about a year ago called Transforming Education to very much think about ideas of conformity and uncertainty within education. But most recently, we've been focusing our attention on climate change and global warming and on working with schools and teachers and pupils to think about what might be done differently. And we have some funding from the Economic and Social Research Council to undertake what is called impact work. Impact work is about taking ideas or findings from research out into the community and into the public domain to change things, we hope, for the better. So this means we're taking the ideas we've built up over several years of researching in schools out to some of those schools to work with them and to work with those who choose to work with us, to think about what might be done differently. And to maximise the chance of the impact of our work, we're linking up with well-established environmental initiatives in a local town. Things that are already going on, where excellent work with schools and citizens in the local environment is already taking place. And we're also working with a head teacher who's made a huge change the way he leads environmental education in his school. And we're also working with other academics as advisors who have areas of knowledge that Perpetua and I just don't have. We call this sort of work case study because it will focus, at least for the moment, on just one small area of the South Coast. However, we hope to learn from this case in ways that will have implications for other places, and we're coming up with things that we can share that may have a relevance beyond the immediacy of the one case to those in other areas of England or the UK, or even in schools in other parts of the globe. But conducting this sort of case study work will cause us anxieties, and we won't always feel confident or assured about what we're doing. Being uncertain and working with things we're not sure about can make us all uncomfortable and can make us doubt ourselves. However, we want to find ways to enable young people and teachers to recognise this and to see this as a way of creating new possibilities for finding out new and different things that might be important and they might not have done had they stuck to working with conforming, safer knowledges only. Working like this might mean working together in different ways, for example, that challenge existing behaviour management protocols, for example, that require things to be done only in certain ways. The idea is for me and Perpetua, as researchers, to support, facilitate, notice and document what goes on as ethnographic researchers, as well as being active and participative with our presence. I think it's important that the work will focus on how we might share what we do, but of course without creating new conforming "this is how you do it" knowledges, and particularly curriculum materials. That would be something of a disaster. So I think we have to be very humble about what we're trying to do, and we have to recognise that many of the transformations that may seem to appear might be incomplete, impossible to quantify, compromised, replete with contradictions and paradoxes, have unforeseen repercussions, and may be overlain with a wide range of feelings, which can include guilt, outrage, weariness, and inadequacy. So, buoyed up by the pedagogic foci of this manifesto, and by the philosophic musings of Biesta and Rancière, Perpetua and I would assert that the work with which we're currently engaged makes a tiny contribution to a long history of critical pedagogy and curriculum reformulation. Our work is designed to work towards justice through equality and to ask questions about the purposes of education in so doing. It's through generating opportunities of possibility, such as those made within spaces which permit some uncertainty, school subjects and citizens be transformed in order that they might see and think and act differently.